Hi, I'm Jayant Sriram and welcome to In Focus, the Hindu's analysis podcast. Thanks for joining us.
So, Jacob, we're recording this update show today because we have a big news update on hydroxychloroquine. That's because the WHO has declared it unsafe in their own global trials. Now, HCQ is a subject that we've dealt with a lot on this podcast, especially in the days when we were talking about India exporting to other countries. I was just going through the archive and we actually recorded an episode with the title, What's the Big Deal Over HCQ? Or Why the Fuss Over HCQ? Or something like that. And we specifically discussed the fact that this is not proven and there could be more adverse side effects than good in terms of treating COVID-19. Yeah. Now, so we're in a bit of a funny position here because the ICMR does seem to have gone or is pushing ahead somewhat with the use of HCQ as a prophylaxis.
Yeah.
And this is despite what the WHO has said. So let's just look at the two sides. What has the WHO said exactly?
So basically, the WHO press conference was about announcing that it is taking HCQ off one of the treatment arms that is testing COVID, that is testing the efficacy of HCQ in treating COVID positive patients. So now the WHO has something going on called the Solidarity Trials, where it is testing four kinds of drugs for their efficacy, remdesivir and lopinavir and combinations. And among them is also HCQ. So these are all drugs that are not some are for HIV, one was for Ebola. They've all shown they have some promising effects in terms of, containing the SARS-CoV-2 virus. But, proper studies haven't been done. So the solid trials are about basically nearly 400 hospitals across the world. WHO is coordinating all of them and testing out whether these drugs actually work well in terms of having an effect on the disease. But the thing is, just last week, there was a very major study that was published in The Lancet, and it was led by an Indian origin doctor called Mandeep Mehra in the US. And their study was again an observational study. That is, they collated data from nearly six continents, and it involved 96,000 odd patients who were COVID affected. And they found that there was really no benefit from administering chloroquine, HCQ, or, combination of HCQ and azithromycin, etc., which is what Donald Trump had been promoting since last month, and which is what gave this whole HCQ a kind of global kind of stature. So this study was this study was published in The Lancet, and this Lancet study was kind of a major nail in, again, a list of others, lots of studies that have been finding no real benefit from using HCQ and azithromycin in COVID-positive patients, that is, treating people with mild or even severe disease. Now, that is the most important distinction that we must make. The Solidarity trials are about testing people diagnosed with the disease. But India's position has been that, this drug potentially can be, has some studies have shown that it can, work as an antiviral, and they did some test tube based studies. And again, based on a long history of HCQ per se, for there have been research papers in the past that showed that HCQ has some antiviral kind of properties. So their argument is that why not test it as a preventive or as a prophylaxis? The assumption is that, that there may be some drugs that if you give them early on, that is before the virus really multiplies and takes root. And again, because HCQ has other advantage, it is, it's very inexpensive. It is, it's been prescribed as an antimalarial for decades. There's, it's not shown very serious adverse reactions. So the ICMR stand has been, given that this is a pandemic, there are no great drugs, for COVID, given that we have a lot of people who are at the front line of, you know, battling the infection, that is doctors, healthcare workers, sanitation workers who are working in dedicated hospitals. ICMR's basic stance has been, we should be trying this as a prophylaxis. There is now a lot of evidence to suggest that it is not really working as treatment, but prophylaxis itself is also a big market. I mean, you know, if it can have some potential in preventing the infection at an early stage, I mean, there could be a lot of takers, especially in India, which is, again, as you know, we are like close to 1.5 lakh now in terms of number of patients. And this is just going, I mean, the trends are clearly rising. We're in it for a really long haul. So any kind of protection along with PPEs seems like a good deal, which is what the ICMR's calculation is.
Right. And so the ICMR, we know, have been conducting their own trials on HCQ. What's the progress on that? And what kind of trials are these?
The ICMR essentially has also launched the commissioning of a trial that is in five hospitals, in five AIIMS hospitals across the country. It will be testing the drug in 2,000 odd doctors, nurses, etc. And that is, again, an observational study. The difference between observational and clinical trials is important, because the argument always has been that if you want to test truly ascertain the benefits of a drug, you must do it via a randomized clinical trial. That is, you must give the drug, you must recruit a certain number of people, and some of them should get the drug, some of them should not get the drug. And neither doctor nor patient should know who is getting what drug, so to say. And then you examine the benefits of whether it shows an improvement in, those who are on the drug. That is the kind of golden standard of establishing whether a drug is useful and, you know, whether it has any potency. So, but the ICMR has said that we cannot really do an RCT right now, because what if there is some incremental benefit, and given that there are no other great drugs for it, not giving the drug to certain people who might benefit would be a kind of breach of ethics, so to say. So, but therefore, you can only do it via observational trials. That is, you know, you give it to everybody and see if some people continue to be protected, or whether some people fall sick. And this is permissible in the world of medical ethics, but it is not as ideal as doing an RCT, so to say.
So an important clarification that we should make here. So what the WHO has said about the testing of HCQ in their solidarity trials, this pertains to HCQ specifically as a treatment and not as a prophylaxis.
Now, the WHO conference yesterday also said that its suspension of hydroxychloroquine is only for the treatment, that is, you know, people who are sick and who are being tested with hydroxychloroquine. It is said that we are not really advising any bar on tests or treatment on those who are trying it out as prophylaxis. That's where the situation is right now. I even talked to Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, the chief scientist of WHO, and she also made this position quite clear that this is, prophylaxis studies are fine. I mean, you know, you. I mean, the WHO does not really endorse them, but says it's okay, because the solidarity trial was never really about prophylaxis. However, the WHO has always maintained that, you know, it is always best to do an RCT, and it is best to do random control trials, and they don't seem to be very, very keen on the prospects of, or very optimistic about what HCQ can do. It can only leave it to the discretion of countries and their expertise in, you know, how they kind of interpret the efficacy of each medicine.
Okay. Yeah. So one thing, in the press conference today, Dr. Bhargava, who is the director of the ICMR, did make a kind of oblique reference to the fact that this became popular after U.S. President Donald Trump was promoting this.
Yeah.
So just one question there. Look, there was a craze about HCQ a few weeks back, and India was very much at the center of it. I mean, who can forget the Ramayana analogy and the images of the Hanuman taking the medicine, or
true,
whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's just that in some way, did the Trump statement actually give this a push in terms of actually testing this out as a prophylaxis?
Completely.
Prophylaxis?
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was a French trial, which was again a small observational trial that showed that it did kill the virus to some extent. But it was really President Donald Trump's endorsement of it, HCQ H plus A, you know, as he referred to it in one of his caps lock tweets that he's so famous for. That's what really actually shown global attention on this particular drug. And it also helps that, you know, this is an anti-malarial and it is not really, you know, India produces a lot of it. And it's one of those rare instances where, you know, India has something technological that it can actually give to the rest of the world, you know, at a reasonable price. And again, remember, this was March and, you know, as the world is, but, you know, it was much worse in March. I mean, nobody really knew what is this virus. It is spreading. It's killing a lot of people in the US, and literally anything and everything is, and it still is being thrown at, at the virus too, in terms of drugs or potential vaccines. And people are bringing out, pharma companies and biotech companies are literally bringing out, scraping the bottom of the barrels for, you know, any sign of any drug that shows some kind of, you know, efficacy or potency. Because remember, right, even the slightest, a drug that does even moderately well stands to generate a lot of reward for any company. I mean, it is that sense a remunerative time for a lot of pharma companies. So there's a lot of activity in that sphere, a lot of hype, a lot of endorsements of, and, you know, a lot of, there is also a slackening of regulatory standards, because once there is a global virus and there is a lot of people falling sick and at danger, then the imperative is to be able to give even a drug that works, that wouldn't in an ideal world pass muster, but is better than having nothing at all. So even regulatory agencies are primed to take greater risks, so to say. And ultimately, that is what has catalyzed this kind of debate about this humble anti-malarial, which is actually pretty ubiquitous in India. For a lot of doctors, offhand say this is something that they would generally easily prescribe. And a lot of doctors actually are skeptical about the fact as to why is this drug being maligned to this extent, because many of them say this is actually reasonably safe if the person does not have any prior cardiac issues or, you know, retinopathy, and is made available safely via prescription.
Yeah, right. No, we did actually on this podcast, we interviewed a public health expert from Tamil Nadu, one of the people on the state's task force.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an epidemiologist who's dealt with, I think he was in charge of the state's response to H1N1.
Yeah.
And he did mention about HCQ that because it's something that is rather easily prescribed when they're dealing with a virus that they're not entirely sure of, this is one of the drugs that they turn to because they're reasonably confident that there won't be any side effects. So, so I suppose that explains why there might be a little bit of surprise at why HCQ is now getting such a bad name, because it is actually getting a really bad name if you look at media in the US, for instance, who made such a big deal about the fact that President Trump said he's on HCQ.
Correct.
As if it's actually a dangerous drug to be taking.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's an interesting counterpoint. Jacob, I think we'll just end with, there were other things mentioned in the health ministry briefing today, particularly about the fact that India has, they're now claiming that India has the lowest mortality rate in the world. We know it's low, but can that claim be safely made?
If you just look at among the countries that are top 10, for instance, I mean, among the countries that have got 1 lakh plus cases, yes. I mean, India has only about, 3 deaths per million of population, whereas, the next Turkey, which is, and India has, as of today, about 147,000 cases. It's second largest in Asia. Turkey is the next up, is right above us, which is 157,000, and it has 52 deaths per million. Even in number of cases per million, India is 107 per million, whereas the nearest Turkey is 1,873. Compare that to the US at 5,157 and 302 deaths per million, and Brazil at 111 deaths per million, and you know, all those numbers are much, much huger. And this is one point that the health ministry has been belaboring for a really long time in terms of relative to the rest of the world. India is doing much better. I mean, we've got such a huge population. I mean, you could actually combine the population of the other people, other countries, 10 countries who have got more cases than us, and their population would still only be close to, you know, India. But look at the numbers there, look at the numbers here, look at the number of deaths we have prevented. That has been the larger argument that, you know, the health ministry has been making for some time to argue about the success of the lockdown. But the fact remains that, you know, there have been concerns about, yes, the lockdown was necessary, but was it done the way it was supposed to be? Did it account for the extreme amount of distress among migrants? About India's, as we've discussed probably over here, India is the only country that would have a category called migrant deaths, that is people who have died because of you know, the migration, and that is easily about 120, and this is just record 130, 120 to 130. This is just officially recorded deaths. We do not know how many more are out, and this is now the peak of summers. People are still walking, trying to get back to the villages. The disease has spread to states that hitherto never had cases. Odisha, Assam, Bihar is showing a massive trend. And this was expected in terms of a lot of people from Maharashtra, Gujarat, etc., where again cases continue to rise, are now going to their homes because of the lack of work, of economic opportunities, etc. So this debate will always remain at, but to be fair, it was one of the few instances today where, in response to a reporter's question, the health ministry official Lav Agarwal said that, you know, these numbers may be low, but we have not declared victory over COVID. We are still in a kind of war, and every day some days we have good news, on the other days we could just at any moment lose it. So that's one of a rare example of humility that is being shown at the health ministry over here in terms of numbers. They have always maintained that we are in a state of war, but it's very confusing when, you know, when they are routing numbers in per you know, per million or per lakh of population figures, that really seems to suggest that, you know, the argument is to justify the sudden lockdown rather than what it has achieved. I mean, there is still little evidence in terms of what percentage of the population is actually infected as opposed to the number of cases that we have detected. Why is the rise still so relentless in Maharashtra and Gujarat? I mean, are our containment efforts really working? How is it that, you know, we are not able, there is no community transmission in this country when there are 100,000 cases? I mean, there are always counterpoints and technical rebuttals to all of these assertions. But yeah, that's pretty much what went down at the health ministry today.
Right, Jacob, thank you for joining me today. We'll continue to do these updates as and when we have big news points like today to discuss. Sure. Thank you for joining me today.
Okay, sure, Jen.